I'm going to do something this morning. I think it's important for everybody, but I'm going to do this specifically for a person this morning. But I do want to say a prayer for all of us here and our families. I'm going to do that first. Do you realize how important this your families are, your generations, but also how important it is to be part of the family of God? You know, it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Do you realize we're named after God? We're named after. Now, people say, you mean we're Jesus Christ? That's the name we use? No, the name means the word that's in us. So we are named after him. We have his word in us. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus puts that inside every man. It's hidden a lot by the darkness, by us going our own way, making our own choices and all of those things. And so we don't follow God. But it was put in us to have the ability and the opportunity to do it when we decide by our will to do it. It's our will, okay? So first I'm going to say a prayer for all of these families, and I'm going to include, you know, Tim and Kiko and whatever for there. There's so many things going on with all of our families. Just sit and think about your children, you know, grandparents, aunts, uncles, sons, daughters, everybody. Think about what's going on in your families right now. And so we're going to say a prayer that God will bless these families, okay? Lord God of heaven, we just ask you to bless today. We give you glory and honor because you're the creator. You're the one that's done everything. We hallow thy name. We honor you. We sanctify you because you're the only one that's able to touch every soul and every heart. When we can't do something, when we can't bring any thought across, when we can't save, when we can't help in any way, you're always there to help. You're the one, Lord God, that bridges the gap between God and us. And so we ask you to continue to do that. Be our intercessor. Be our intermediary, Lord God, and help us in all things. So we ask you to touch every family, every heart, every soul. Help them to think on you. And as they think on you, draw yourself near and show them that you're with them every step of the way. And we give you the glory and honor for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Then I'm going to do something. I'm going to read this. It's Psalms chapter 5, no, chapter 71, beginning at verse 5. Listen to this. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. You'll see why I'm saying this in a minute. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. So I said that because I want to ask you to direct prayer toward my grandson, Arion. He's been on my mind so much lately, but he's in the midst of some things that are going on in his life. And they're good things. They're good things. But the opportunities for things to go the bad way, you know, by a bad thought or by pride or by whatever. So I'm just going to say this. I'm very proud of him, his accomplishments and so forth. He was selected athlete of the year for track and field for Yuma. And he received most valuable player last Wednesday. And I said, wow, God bless him. Not anything toward us, even toward him. I just want him to be able to stand up under everything that may come against him and stay humble at the feet of God. So I read that so that you can direct prayer toward him. And whenever you think about it, pray for him that this may be his chance to, you know, get college paid for and do whatever. And we pray that for all of our children, you know, all of them. We pray that God will create opportunities and help every one of them. So I just wanted to give him, you know what we say? We send flowers to people after they're dead. Don't we do that? We send flowers to funerals. We send flowers to the family, but the person's already dead. Why not give them their flowers while they live? Does that make sense? Give it to them while they live. Let them smell the bouquet. Let them hold and see the beauty of it. their words, their thoughts, but most of all, it's the Spirit of God. Let them feel that. Let them know those things now. And let them know that we love them. And so sending flowers to dead people doesn't help them. I'm sorry, it doesn't. We do it. It's a form and a fashion. I know we do it. We say it's for the family and whatever. But always remember, if you can, husbands, give your flowers to your wives. Wives, give your flowers to your husband. Parents, give your flowers to your children. You see where I'm going with this? Give it to them now. There was a guy that I read a book that he wrote one time, and I can't remember his name anymore. But he says, for every negative thing that you say to a child, you should say 7 things that are positive. Think about it. For every 1 negative, you should say 7 things positive. And some people say, that's going to be a lot of work. Because I may have said 10 negative things today. Okay, you got 70 positive. You got to get in there somehow. You see how that works? But they say that. And why 7, do you think? What does God say about that 7? That's his number of completeness. That's his number of perfection, is the number 7. Very powerful. 7 days created the earth. You know, things like that. Start thinking about all the 7s. 7 churches. All these different things that God uses 7 for. Man may fall 7 times, but he can rise up again each and every time. That 7 is an important number to God. It's a number of perfection. And God's perfection is what we want in our lives. So I give my prayer to my grandson, and I want you to give prayer to him. But not just to him, to all of our children. But I wanted to recognize him for what he did do. But here's the thing that I want. I want him to remain humble. About God gave the talent. God gave the wherewithal. God gave the body, even from the mother's womb. Didn't I just read that? Even while he was in his mother's womb, these things were already determined. It's funny, isn't it? They're already determined. God knows all of this already. You think it takes God by surprise? No way. So what we pray for is the will of God to be done throughout the whole lifetime. Isn't that true, Taylor? Throughout the whole lifetime. Sometimes, I'm going to say this, sometimes even as parents, do we do everything perfect? Do we make mistakes? There's all kinds of things that we do. But if we believe God, God can correct that, mold, and make it an experience that you learn from, and then you keep going. Isn't that cool? That's a powerful thing, I think. So thank the Lord for him. I also wanted to say this. We've been talking about the inward and the outward for the last few weeks, haven't we? That I want you to understand there's an inward man and there's an outward man. The outward one is the one we see all the time, don't we? The flesh. We see all the time. And we think this is so important. But God tells me something very important. He said, this is going to go back to dust. Oh, we fix it up. We do the hair real nice. We put the lotion on to keep the skin soft. We do all kinds of stuff, don't we? We exercise to look better. We try to lose weight. We try to gain weight. We're never hardly satisfied with ourselves. We're always doing something. But here's the thing that's important. This will perish. It goes to dust. It doesn't mean anything after a while. So a guy told me one time, he said, you know what we are after we go back to dust? We're about 75 cents worth of potash that you put on a plant. Because, you know, you can take ashes and put them around a plant and it helps it, right? He said, that's all we are, about 75 cents worth once we leave here. But yet we think we're so great sometimes. We think we're it, you know? Hey, your life is in the hand of God. Now, you by your will want to stay there. God said this, and no man is able to pluck you out of my hand. But what about you? What if you crawl out between those fingers? What if you by your will do your own thing and you don't want to stay with God? God's not going to force you to stay there. Your will is very preeminent and very important to him. He wants you to do that, serve him, because you want to and because you love him. Not because he's forcing you in any way. So it's up to you. to be in the hand of God. And he said, no man can pluck you out, but it's up to you to put yourself in there and want to stay there. Let God hold you. We used to sing an old song, Hold Me in the Hollow of Your Hand. Remember that song, Seth? And we would sing it and get into it, man. Hold me in the hollow of your hand. That's what you want. You want God to hold you right here. You're going to be kept. And all the evil and all the spirits that come against us, they can't come in the hand of God. They're shut out because God's holding you. Isn't that powerful? So the inward and the outward. So like I said, we care so much for this outward part, but there's an inward man that God is after. Isn't that right, Ceci? He wants to go inside of you and change how you think. When we talk about the flesh, when God says flesh, he's talking about the place where you think and make decisions. We call it the heart, but really the heart that pumps blood is not where our, you know, where everything is in. That's just what keeps our body alive, right? But why does God call it the heart? Because it's the center of our will. And it says, out of the heart come the issues of life. So all the issues of life come out about how we think. It's how we think about how the issues of life. So God calls it a heart because all of that, you know, it takes, life is in the blood. So it takes that to keep a body going, right? Well, that blood, if you stop and think about it, what is that in Jesus? It's life. So the blood, remember the communion thing? He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. He said, my flesh is bread and my blood is what? The wine or the water, the liquid, right? So he told us every time that we take that communion, remember him. Remember that he gave his flesh so that you wouldn't have to, so that you wouldn't have to die on a cross. Yet we do have to die, don't we? It's very powerful. This is all spiritual. So let me show you something here. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, and I think it starts at verse 11 or 12. I hope I won't be here long. It's according to how God moves by the Spirit. That's another thing too. The things you hear me saying, that's not me. It's what I've asked God to do for this session this morning. Every week I always pray, God, bring your gospel from heaven down through me and speak through this tongue, this mouth. And people say, oh, Pastor Kennedy, you did a great job today. Well, let me tell you something. I didn't do anything. I am an instrument, a vessel. God speaks, comes down through me, but I've yielded myself to God so that he can do that. And so the word and the credit and everything goes to God. Do I thank God? Do I give him the glory and the honor? I have to, because I couldn't do what I do without him. There's no way I could do it. So God is the one that does that. So Ephesians 6. Now listen to what this says here. I'm going to start at 11. Listen to what this says. Put on the whole armor of God. Doesn't it say that? So here goes our mind, the outward armor. So we got to put on helmets and put on the chain mail, and we got to protect our legs, and we got to do this. We got to put a sword in our hand. That's not what God's talking about, but he's typifying it to that. So listen to what he says. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So he's telling you the devil has cunningness. Doesn't he? He's very slick about what he does. He's very deceitful, and he can very subtle. He can just slide right in there into a thought, and you don't even think it's the devil. You think it's you. That little thought comes by. But really, it's him instituting all of this, right? He said, stand against the wiles of that devil. Well, that shows you that he does work, right? If God's giving you armor, he's giving you armor because there's something that works against you and against him. So he's doing this for a purpose. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I was talking to my grandson last night. Listen to what this is saying. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with you. I'm not going over here and I'm grabbing Seth and we're going to wrestle for a while and I'm going to toss him down. He's going to pick me up and throw me across the room. And whatever. You notice I said toss him down. He'll pick me up and throw me across the room. He's stronger than I am. So, but you know, we don't wrestle like that. People think you're going to wrestle against the devil that way. How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? Ceci, how are you going to do that? There's no way. The devil is a spirit. You can't grab him and wrestle like that. But I tell you where you do wrestle with him at. Every day, every hour sometimes you're wrestling with them. Thoughts come and you're wondering where they're coming from, how they came, why they're so evil in some cases, why certain things are there, why a lust is there, why a hatred is there, whatever it may be. This is where we wrestle. This is where we struggle in our thoughts. You know what God is after your thought? That's the number one thing God is after, how you think. Because he knows if he can catch you where you think and change it, that'll change everything inward and outward. Everything will change for you if he can catch that. But you got to allow him to do it. So he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He just gave you the clue, didn't he? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Where are the high places? High places in your mind, how you think, your high thoughts, how you think of how you are. Have you ever seen a person walking around? Just full of pride. Have you ever seen a person like that? Full of pride. That's amazing, huh? Yet you go ask them about it, they can't tell. It's been taken over so long against them, they don't tell, and they can't tell that's what they're full of. But me, I can discern it very quickly. And people say, well, you're judging from the outside. No, what God has been doing for me lately here is judging spirits. And people say, you mean you can judge spirits? Yes, I can. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm not ashamed to say that God shows me what these spirits are. As a pastor, do you think maybe he's showing it to me so that I can help those that he's given me, the sheep he's given me? I'm a pastor over I'm a shepherd over a flock. So why would God leave me blind and not let me see what's going on? So I believe God. I believe this thing about spirits, and I believe the battle is with spirits. I believe that. We fight against spirits, and the world has taken it. They say, oh, no, this is you doing this and you doing this, right? They never mention spirits to you, do they? Those spirits work with your thoughts. Do you realize that your thoughts and your words are spirit? Your thoughts and your words are spirit. They carry power. Can you say something to somebody and cause them to crumble sometimes? Just by what you said, the power of a word. Or maybe your spirit toward them. You know, every time they come near you, all you feel is hatred. Do you think after a while that they feel that too? Every time you come around, why is it that I feel this way when this person, because they hate you. Wow. I used to feel that all the time when I was growing up. I used to walk down the street and could feel hatred, and I was 5, 6 years old. How in the world was I going to make it? I felt like I wasn't going to live very long. I really did. I thought I would probably die before I was 10 years old. Because I could feel the hatred, and sometimes I could see it. Sometimes I could see people saying or cursing or whatever, or spitting, just because of me as I'm walking down the street. And I realized that from the time I was 3, 4, 5 years old, and I would have to walk through that. I would have to, it created things in me that I pray that I never go back to. It created horrible things in me, horrible thoughts in me, because of those things being done, because I couldn't understand why people hated me. I could not understand it. As a 5-year-old, you're not going to understand that. But that's what happened to me. But did that shape my life? Sure did. It shaped it in a way that wasn't good at first, but now I think of it as God helping me to overcome, because those thoughts stayed with me for a long time. Very long time. God came and rescued me, took me out of the cage, Laura, that I put myself in, and pulled me out of it and showed me that. He said, I'll take care of you. It doesn't matter what men say or do, because I got you. I got your back. What do we say in the military? I got your 6. You guys know what that means? I got your 6. You think about the 6 o'clock. When you tell somebody you have their six, that means you got their back. 12 is their front. I got your six. And people have done that for me. God has always led me toward people that had my back. In spite of what other people did, there was always somebody who would come along and encourage me. I thank God for those people that encouraged me, that made me change my thought. Isn't that powerful? So why am I saying all of that? All of that spirit. Spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's what we fight against. You may not realize it. Then it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. In other words, sometimes it seems like we're going to be blown over. But if you can believe God, you will stand, and you will stand therefore no matter what comes against you. No matter what it is, you will stand. And I learned how to do that through God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So the loins is this area right here. So it says, gird that with truth. Are we talking physical or are we talking spiritual? We're talking spiritual. See, this is where people get everything messed up. So you go try to find a cloth or something, then make it God and then gird your loins. No, God's telling you this is all spiritual. It's all thought. It's all spirit. This is, so he said, loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. So you want to cover your heart with righteousness, don't you? Breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So whenever you walk and you're covering for your feet are all gospel and peace. That's what you have. In other words, you're walking in the gospel and you have the peace of the gospel. So your feet are that way, shod with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith. I got a shield I can put in front of me, put my arm through the back of it. So we think of it in the natural, but what if I told you it's a spiritual one? And you're holding that shield. And then what happens? Why do you have a shield? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When he's throwing those darts, I'm talking about Satan, man. I'm talking about the devil. When he's throwing this stuff at you, you got a shield. You just pulled it up. Boom, boom, boom. You're catching him. No matter what. And God shows you spiritually how to catch him. So the shield of faith. Because remember, this is God doing this for you. This is the armor of God. Wow. And then it talks about, and take the helmet of salvation. Why a helmet? Because it protects the what, Oscar? Protects the brain, doesn't it? Protects where you think. So it's the helmet of salvation. Is this all spiritual, this armor of God? Yes, it is. This is God equipping you to go against the adversary. Isn't it powerful? So he does this for you. And the sword, this is the one I like the best, Seth, is the sword of the Spirit. In my office, I have a Marine Corps sword. It hangs up on my wall. Ah, that's something I did in the world, you know. But God has a sword. It's not made out of metal. It's not going to decay. This is a sword of the Spirit. And you know what that is? It's the Word of God. Every time you use the word, Seth, what are you doing? You're cutting that devil every time. And he has to do the ouch and the move because you got the sword of the Spirit. You got the sword of the Spirit of God. And he hates that. He sees you coming with that sword. He's like, I got to back up because I can't do anything against the Word of God and their belief in that word. Isn't that true, Lord? You believe it? Wow. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what I ask God to do for me every week. I may open my mouth boldly, Ariane, and speak the word of God. I ask him to do that for me every week. I want to be able to persevere in that. You see what I'm saying? So it's very important to understand that we fight a spiritual battle. That's the enemy. It's a spirit. Why am I thinking like this? Why do I think bad of myself? Why am I depressed? Why am I despondent? Why do I hurt? Why do I have depression? Why are these things happening to me? The enemy. Because if he can get you to think that way, he's got you. Sometimes he uses other people to get you to think that way. And what happens there is, I call this is a term I use, transference takes place. They have that, and they keep talking to you and counseling you in such a way that they transfer that spirit to you. They convince you of your lack of worth. They convince you that you don't come up to their standard. They convince you that you're a nobody. They convince you that you'll never overcome. Have you ever heard people that talk to people in such a way? They're always negative. You'll never, what did they used to tell you, Ma? Never amount to anything. People tell you things like that. Gosh, that's weird. I had a teacher, her name was Mrs. Nice. She wasn't nice. I was the only one like me in the class. Raise my hand up to answer a question. Put your hand down, Hubert. You don't know anything. Let everybody else answer. That went on for years, all through junior high, where I was at. Things like that. You know, so people can hurt you and don't realize how much hurt they put into you. Isn't that true? Can they do that? Can words hurt in such a way that they stay with you for years? Oh my God. But that's because we believed him, right? Okay, what about when God comes along and Patty, he smashes that cage? You've been in that cage all your life and God comes along and smashes it. That's not true. Those are lies. And quit believing those lies. Don't believe the lies about yourself. Don't believe the lies that other people tell you about yourself. Because it's not worth it. Patty, I'm going to say my term. They don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. What man has a heaven he can put you in or a hell he can put you in? Not man. You see how that works? But do they do it? Have men put women in hell? Have women put men in hell and cause hell all around them? Has that ever happened? Oh, yes, it does. But that's because we believed it, Ceci. Once we understand that God is not like that, and that he is in you, and that the power of overcoming is all through his grace and through faith in him, then who can do that to you anymore? Who? Who can do that to you anymore? I've found the secret of life. It's God. It's belief in God. The secret of life is God himself in you. Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. Why is it a hope of glory? Because he said, I'm going to take you there if you live for me. Whew. That is powerful. I'm going to read one more thing and I'm done. 2 Corinthians 10. This is a powerful thing too here. Kind of backs up what this other thing says. Listen to this. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. You're not fighting the war with this. You fight it with this, right? That's the warfare, the armor that God gives you. It's all spiritual. It's how you have to think about yourself and think about God. You have the warfare, the armor. Now listen to learn how to use it. When I was in the Marine Corps, they gave us all kinds of weapons and stuff, and they would take us through different things. They would teach us how to use each one. Each one. If you put a bayonet on the end of a rifle, they teach you how to use it to kill efficiently. If they put you on the range to shoot so you can shoot from a distance and do it. You know, they give you pugil sticks so you can learn to defend yourself with anything you pick up in case there's an enemy coming at you and you're fighting for your life. I had a friend of mine that while he was in the service, they got overrun in their foxholes and they ran out of ammunition. Didn't have any ammunition, the enemy was still coming. So they had to take their rifles and fight like, you know, holding them like sticks and doing whatever. And they did like that, and him and his buddy back to back, fighting stuff off, killed like five or six of the enemy or something like that. And they survived because they worked together. And that's what they did. Ran out of bullets, but still survived. Now I'm not saying they didn't get hurt. Some of them got bayoneted, got shot, whatever. They kept fighting. And they worked together, and they didn't die. And he got the Silver Star or something, him and his friend, for that fight like that, you know. And he was a friend of mine. And I said, how did you feel this? I said, I was scared to death. I thought I was going to die. We kept seeing these guys coming. I thought I was going to die. Our whole unit got overrun. I thought I was going to die. And he said, that's the funniest feeling in the world. Because he said, once that comes, he said, you fight with all you've got. He said, I'm going to die anyway. That's what he said. If something takes over on the inside, the fear kind of goes, and you all the adrenaline is working, and you're just fighting to save your life. He said, that's all you're doing. You're just fighting to save your life. And you know you may lose it because of the numbers coming against you. Isn't that a powerful thing? Now, think about what I just said. Look at those spirits that are coming against you, all those devils and those demons. Sometimes you think you're not going to make it, but if you stand in God, you'll overcome every one of them. Everyone. He said, though a host come against me, is what it says. What's a host? That's a lot of people. Mo, that's a lot of people. He said, though a host come against me, I'll stand because I'm standing in you. Whew. David said, I jumped over a wall and withstood a troop. That's how he puts it. You go look it up. And withstood a troop. David did do that. And didn't it say in the scriptures that David killed his 10,000s and Saul killed his thousands? David was a warrior. Do you know he would go in the midst of battle and kill so many and come out unscathed? Wow. You know the story about him and Goliath came out of it. You see how this works? But he went in with the Lord. And when he came out, he had the Lord with him. I've jumped over a wall. I faced a troop. And he did actually do that. So listen to what God's going to do for you. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? It's a strong spirit. It's a spirit that puts you down. You deal with it maybe for years. It's a hard one to overcome. But God says, I come, I pull them down. I pull down strongholds. They're made for me. I'll just come and grab it, pull it down. And you say, Lord, I've been struggling with that. Yeah. But now that you believe in me, now that you've turned it over to me, let me pull down those strongholds for you. Hard things, Laura, that you deal with for years sometimes. And he pulls them down. He just comes along and pulls them down, Seth. Pulls them down. That's amazing. And God has done that for me. I can testify that he's pulled down some strongholds for me. Casting down imaginations. Do you know our imagination is a powerful thing? Have you ever sat and imagined something that seems so real to you? You can set your imagination to going, and the next thing you know, you're imagining that you're doing that thing. Isn't it true? But it can work bad sometimes too, because then your imagination can take you into evil. So God said, I got to cast that down because you're thinking evil in your imagination. And you're embellishing it. You're making it even more and more because of the way you're thinking. So God said, I have to cast it down. So here we go again. God comes along and casts it down. Evil imaginations. He does that. Very powerful. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Man says that's impossible. Nobody can gather all my thoughts. Nobody can make all my thoughts obedient. Let me take you to scripture. It says, I can cast down every thought and make every thought obedient. That's right. You can't do it as a man, but God that created heaven and earth can do it. In a snap of his finger, everything will be under him. He will overcome it, and every thought will be in obedience to him. You think that's impossible? No, it isn't, because God's doing that for me. He's bringing every thought into obedience. As I progress, as I walk, he's taking the thought and changing it, Ceci, and making it what he wants it to be and not what I want it to be. Can he do it? Yes, he can do it. I'm living proof he can do it. And he's going to continue to do that for me until he's got it all. That's the way it works. Almost done here. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness, I love this one, to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You keep being obedient to God, God will revenge all those spirits that tried to make you do disobedience. All those enemies, everything that tried to make you do the wrong thing, whatever, he will revenge that. And when God takes revenge, what do you think kind of happens to him, Seth? Do you think they get destroyed by the brightness of his coming? You think they get destroyed by the word that he speaks? He said, be gone. What did Jesus tell that man brought his son to Jesus? Remember he said he throws himself into the fire and he foams at the mouth and all this stuff. He said, I brought him and nobody could heal him. I'm bringing him to you, Lord. Can you please help me? This is my son. God said, how long has he been that way? Jesus talked to him. He said, since he was born, he's been this way. And so he said, I'm out of hope. I don't know what to do. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus said, bring him to me. And he brought him to him. And he looked at him. And he fell down, foaming at the mouth, rolling, all that stuff. Jesus just standing there looking at it. Jesus is not impressed with devils. He's not impressed with what they do. He just looked at him. He said, He said, he's been this way how long? And he told him how long again. He said, do you believe I'm able to do this? He said, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe. Because that's his last resort. I believe. I've heard about you. I've heard about you casting out devils and I heard about it, so I'm bringing them to you now. Let's see how this works. So, yes, Lord, I believe. But, Lord, help thou my unbelief. But I believe. Then Jesus stepped away from the Father, looked at that boy down there, rolling, foaming, doing all that stuff, screaming, hollering. He looked at him. He said, thou deaf and dumb spirit, ooh, come out of him. Now, we think deafness is like deafness not hearing here and dumb not being able to speak. Uh-uh. Couldn't hear the word of God, couldn't speak it. A devil had him. He was possessed. And he said, thou deaf and dumb spirit. He knew what to call that spirit, Patty. Come out of him. But we say that's the end of the story because it did come out of him. The boy stood up. He's fine. The father rejoiced, didn't he? Wow, that was powerful. But Jesus didn't end it there. He said, thou deaf and dumb spirit, come out of him and enter into him no more. Because, you know, you leave a devil running around, he'll try to get back in. Isn't that true? He says, and enter not into him anymore. That's it. You're done. And the father just cried and rejoiced. This is what his son had been going through all his time. And he just rejoiced, Mo. He said, this is what I needed the whole time. What did we need the whole time? The salvation of God. The power of God to manifest and do. So I read you two passages where it says we're going to have power over those spirits. But you can't have power through the flesh or through your own thought. It has to be through God, belief in God. And so you say, well, it's impossible, some of these things. Yeah, for man it is impossible. But God said what's impossible with man is possible with God. God loves to work in those situations. Bring me something impossible, man. Bring me something impossible. Let me work. I had a guy that was on heroin that I knew. In prison, I used to be a counselor in prison for 5.5 years. Used to counsel the prisoners and they come in. He said, PK, I've been on heroin probably 25 years of my life. Can you imagine that, guy? He said, my habit, sometimes $1,000, $2,000 a day. I said, how'd you get that money, man? Go steal. I would steal, rob people, do stuff like that. I had to have it. So I'd do whatever I had to do. Rob, mug people, take the money. I had to get at least $1,000 a day. Can you imagine how much that 365 days a year? And you have to get $1,000 a day to keep your habit going. He was bad. He called it horse, Ernest. You've heard that before, huh? Like up in Harlem and stuff like that. He said, the horse, man, I'm riding that horse. I'm riding a white horse. And he said, I can't stop. I said, what about you're in prison now? He said, I can't get to it. That's the only reason I don't get it. I don't have it. I'm being kept from it, but I still have that craving all the time. And I told him, I said, this is what we need to do. We need to call on Jesus and he will answer prayer. I said, but you have to believe it. You have to. If you don't believe it, me praying for you ain't gonna do you a bit of good. So I said, you just start praying every day that God will take that thing from you. Every day, every day, every day. And I don't know what happened to him when he left prison. At least I didn't see him come back like I saw some of the other ones. I don't know, but I prayed for that guy that that would be taken from him. Do you think that's hell? You think that's torment? Every day, that he had to live his life that way. Wow. I wouldn't imagine ever putting myself in that place, but that seemed impossible to him, huh? I believe that God helped him once he left there. I couldn't keep track of all the thousands of guys I talked to, but I believe that God helped him. Because we talked about coming to the realization that there's only one thing that'll help, Ceci, and that's God. There's only one thing. I can't give you any other hope other than God. Only God can change that. And I have met people that have been on that stuff, and I used to work at the mission down here, and they're free of it now, Patty. They're free of it. They're going with their life. So it is possible, isn't it? It is possible. So very important thing for you to understand. So will things come up in our life that we think are impossible? Are spirits causing us problems, the enemy? Do we need to turn this inward and not keep looking outward like we're going to take care of the problem? We can't do it. It's going to take God inwardly to change how you think, change how your thought is and all of that. Isn't that what it's going to take? We fight against spirit. Didn't it say spiritual wickedness in high places? We fight against principalities and powers. You may not understand this, but some devils, Satan, whatever, raises up governments in your world. Just like we have a government out here, they raise up governments in your world. And how does that work? They got all their little cronies. Remember, when Satan fell, didn't his angels fall too? All those little devils. And guess what? They set up these governments in you, and they tell them, okay, you go to this part of his mind where he's thinking. You go to this part, and you go to this part. They set up a government, and they all have authority. He has authority over them, and they come and report to him. You can't let this stuff get started. That's why it says principalities and powers in you, Patty. You let them stay there long enough, they'll set up a whole government. You're letting them stay. Quit believing lies. Quit believing you can't, and learn the word you can through Jesus that you can. Isn't that powerful? So take it inward. Understand that these are spirits that work in you inwardly, and they work in your thoughts. And you wonder where a thought comes from? It's all of a sudden out of nowhere you're thinking evil. Well, I'm telling you, the enemy's doing it. It's not you, it's it. But here's what the problem is, if you join yourself to it and agree with it. Oh, so now you agree to it, now you're one. That spirit in you are one in thought. That's what happens. You ever hear the term fornication? We think that means two people getting together and having some type of sexual relationship here. That's not what God means when he says fornication. He means that that spirit has joined with your thought. You become one, and you're committing fornication because you want to stay there. You're allowing this thing to work in you. So what do you have to do? You have to get to the point where you say no more. I'm going to believe in Jesus, and I'm going to be free. So, last scripture. In the world you shall have tribulation. That means trouble. In this world that you walk in, out here and in here. There's a world inside of you. In the world you shall have tribulation, Patty. That means trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Whew. I've overcome it, Jared. I've overcome the world. God's done that for me. Overcome it. This world that was so rotten in me, I've overcome it. Well, my world looks different now. My thoughts are different. Wait a minute, how did that happen? I thank God through Jesus Christ. That's how it happened.